that as we're working towards Kabbalah's old Torah, and old Torah includes, the old Torah includes in all areas of our life, which should be governed and through the eyes of Torah, and what the Das of the Torah is. And the Das Torah is through the Chachamim and the Rebbeim that we have, that we turn to in all different situations. So we spoke about, in the last Chabur, we spoke about different Yoni Momnis, that one would easily take into their own hands. And we have to remind ourselves, no, there's direction, Chazal gives direction in every situation. Today I'd like to just discuss different issues that come up in the medical world, where, just to bring out the point that even dealing with Rifua, so sometimes we put our trust in the doctors, which the doctors may be saying the right thing, but it also has to be worked with through the Chochmah Satera. The Marsha in Gittin on the Gemara Samaches over there, where Ravina Ravashi included into the Gemara different refuahs. So Marsha is Ma'arach over here, why Ravina Ravashi Bechal decided to write these refuahs. Gemara Brachas talks about how they were gunas, they hid the Sefer refuahs that Chizkiah wrote, that Chazal were Meshabeach them for being gunas, because they want that people should be Mevakish Rachamim. So why they write it in? And and at the end he says as follows. He says, "Umitaych zetira," that they saw that Torah was being forgotten, and there was a heter of Eis Lasses Hashem to start writing down even Torah Shabbat Peh, and they wanted to be megala ulegalois from the rabbim, to megal to the rabbim, because may will be forgotten. She'ena talmid chaser mikol hachochmeis. This Talmud, through Talmud, is not missing any of the Chachmas. Ki l'chol choyli timsa v'refuah shaleim of amitis l'mevinim l'shaynam. To the one that understands the Lashon, the one that understands the Lashon of the Talmud, which is the Das of the Rebbein Shlom, they'll know that there's a refuah for every choyli. So in the Chachmas HaTorah, the Chachmas HaTorah includes all chachmas, including the chachmas of refuah. That's what Ravina Ravashi are teaching us. The Rabban in his psicha to Torah, on his pirush on Torah, so this brings down the pasuk, Heviani HaMelech HaDorav. So he says over there, Sha'akol Nulmad Me'at Torah. Shlomo HaMelech, who was given to him, Shenosan Le'elikim HaChachma V'amada, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Chochmah and all the knowledge. HaKol Me'at Torah Hayolai U'Mimena Laman. At Sheyoda, he says, I feel Koyach HaSavim V'Sugulasam. The Sugula of each grass was good for. At Shekasam Be'am, I feel a safer of voice. So this is something which we have to not just know, but we have to live that. Through Torah, Torah has it all. There's Das Malikin, there's Das Chachman, there's Mada, there's everything, there's, including even Sefer Fuis and all the Segulais of the different herbs and different things that there is. It's L'Mevinim L'Shainim, as the Marsha says, it's there. Now, as a person is Zaycha to get close to Talmid HaChachamim, you learn from the Talmid Chacham, you start to draw from them, you see the different eitzes and different approaches that they have also to all different areas of life. Chachma from them also, there's a Chachma that the Talmid Chacham have, and it comes from their learning, from their being Isaac and being misbattled their Das to the Torah, they begin to have what's called Das Torah. And it's a chachma. It's a chachma. So when we approach these chachamim and we ask them for eitzah, we ask them for eitzahs, so we ask them for direction, they're giving over to us a certain chachma, which is chachma satira. And chachma satira includes it all. There's something called medical ethics. What is that? What's medical ethics? So Be'etzem, it's a group of people that got together and out of their emotional feelings or reasonings, they created certain policies. And they set up a certain system that sometimes has led them to things which seem to be unethical, but there are those that believe that a woman who's pregnant and there's a danger to her. Why should we allow her to kill the unborn just to save her life? However, when we look at halacha, according to halacha, halacha dictates to us what's moral and what's ethical. Over there, the halacha stance is not to kill even an unborn child. The halacha tells us, even if the lady doesn't want to be pregnant anymore, we're not to kill a child. However, the same Torah says that a woman, she doesn't have to take a risk. She doesn't have to risk her life to save a fetus. So we find differences. There are differences if we'll look into what they view ethical and what the Torah views ethical. It's not unusual that the medical professionals will suggest certain times to patients to not to pursue a certain process or to end certain care because the patient is not going to live a high quality of life. However, halacha dictates to us to tell us that one more moment of life in this world, even if it's a life which is not on its highest quality of life, but one more moment of life in this world could translate into worlds of quality of life in the next world. So again, there are different approaches, different, this is just basic differences that we find. Many times, halacha relies on the medical professionals to establish what halacha is. The Rav will be in contact with the doctor to find out what the professionals view or to find out different medical knowledge in order to pursue what halacha is. But when it's going through the Rav, it's a whole different world. I heard a Gevaldik Gevar today. I heard a few times from a Chashev Yid that it says in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, Ve'ela Mishpatim, right? Ashetasim Lefnehem. Rashi tells us, Ashetasim Lefnehem, V'loi Lefnei, not from going. Ashetasim Lefnehem, when you have a court case, you should go to the Bati Dinim of the Yidin. Don't go to the Bati Dinim of the Goyim. Tarkais, we don't go to the Goyish courts. Yet we find that there are Paiskim that say that one can make a Tanai with Bezdin, that Bezdin should paskin with the Psak of the Goyish courts. Now, what's the reason why Ashatasim Lefnei Malifnei in front of the Goyish courts? Because the Chil Hashem, we have our court system, we have our Dayanim, we have our Psakim. So why are you going out to the Goyish courts? So if so, then what's the difference if you make it tonight with Bezdin, then now Bezdin's in Paskin with their Psakim? So Vaitashvi Chil Hashem. So Yishtaltzu also in Pashas Vayera. In the beginning of the Pasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is visiting Avraham Avinu, Bimvaka Chayla. It says, Hu Yoishiv Pesach Oil. Yoishiv is spelled over here without a vav. Says Rashi, Yoishiv Ksiv, Bikesh Lamoid. Avraham wanted to stand up. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shev, Vani Emad. You sit and I'll stand. Right, like a tzura of, back in the days, tzura of a Rebbe and a Talmud was, the Talmud stood, and the Rebbe sat. The Rebbe sat. It was often of, you want to be Mekabel, you stand. It says, Yar the Chul Shul Olam, so Mimela, we sit when we learn. But the certain tzura of acceptance. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shev Ani Emet. You sit, I'll stand. You sit. That simin lebanecha she'asir ba'adas the dayanim vein yoshvim. The dayanim will sit and I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will stand over here. Shnei malakim nitzu ba'adas kel. What's the Baruch Hu saying? You paskin and I will accept the psak. It will become Dvar Hashem. It will come Dvar Hashem. Become Dvar Hashem. That psak that the Bezdin is paskining is no longer Chil Hashem anymore. Even if they're using the psakim of the Arkais, it's no longer the psak of the Arkais. It's no Chil Hashem because this is the psak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts it. It turns into the psak Hashem. It becomes Dvar Hashem. Becomes Das Teira. And same thing over here. With the doctor. When I go to approach the doctor and just speak to him as a doctor and then make my decision with the doctor, so it's a medical decision. But when it's done through the Rav with the Das of the Torah, then it becomes Das Torah. So even if we're following at the end exactly what the Rav says, but it's being done through, it becomes Dvar Hashem, and that's when special Siyata Shemaya comes. Tremendous Yatsra, many, many stories where I'm sure everyone can think of in life where it came when working with Gedolim, with Tzaddikim and Rabbanim, there's a certain Siyata Shemaya that comes out then. There are times that the Torah may say that there's no chiv to save a life. There are times. Issues come up at the end of life, of different stages over there. It's a very complicated sugya, which even many rabbanim will not be able to answer. We have to go to big gedolim to get the klalim of what's called the end of life, brain death, and all that. These are very serious shailas, but. Again, like I pointed out before, that there could be differences between what the medical world will consider and what the halachic world will consider. Abortions. So at times, halacha dictates that a woman is required to terminate a pregnancy. Other times, it may not be a requirement. And then there's times when, in many cases, aborting is completely asa. And this is even through a guy. Even through a guy, and matter of fact, it's more chama through a guy, probably. It's possible that it's more, that killing a uba is more chama through a guy. So like, one would think, okay, I'll have a guy do it. So, but if you're running into a bigger shayla. But the Rambam says, A guy who kills the Uber is chayiv, and Yisrael, what? Right. That's one of the Shem mitzvahs. So there's certain times, medical conditions can pose a danger to the mother's life. Sometimes it may result from the pregnancy itself. Or she has a medical condition, Rachman, a cancer or something like that, that the pregnancy will cause the condition that she needs immediate treatment for it, and being pregnant she can't get that treatment. These are all sugyas. There's Mishnah in Ahalos, and there's Chubis and Shulchan Aruch, Rambam's, Reb Chaim's. I'm saying there's a lot of Torah on this. Now there are times that Now, what happens a lot of times is one goes to a doctor, and the doctor, based on what he sees or what he feels, he decides that, you know, this is a pregnancy which we need to abort. And unfortunately, many times people don't think twice, and they're ready to do it. The doctor says that this is going to be a terrible pregnancy. It's going to be the end of the world. This child is not going to live for more than a few months or a few days, and it's going to wreck your life and all that. And people just follow through with the doctor. When approaching a Rav, I'll just tell you some personal stories. I've gone with people that had different situations to different Rabbanim. I've gone to Rav Isaac a few times. One story a few years ago, just Mam Shavuos time. There's a lady who, after going to one doctor, and then she went to the best doctors and sonograms over here, who did a sonogram. I think she went to both of them, and I ended up speaking to the doctors on the phone. It was very convincing that there's a very, very good chance, like probably a 98% chance, that this child's going to be born with issues, which the child is not going to live for long, and therefore the doctor was pushing very strongly for aborting. Lemaisa, I went with her husband to Rav Isaac, and Rav Isaac sat there. He asked me to call the doctor again. I wanted him to speak to the doctor, but he said, no, you speak to it. So I spoke while we were there, and Rav Isaac, he realized that Taka, it sounded like a situation where it's true, it's. So the doctor was saying he sees no reason why she's already in. It was like the 6th month, 7th month. There's no reason why she should have to go through this whole pregnancy and then give birth at the end of the 9th month and just. So Rav Isaac said to me, so I asked Rav Isaac if he could go speak to the lady. So at the end he said, no, he says, you know her, he can't speak English, she only speaks English, you go. So I said, so tell me, what should I say? So he said as follows. He said, tell her that if you go in now and you abort, you're always going to be thinking back to that day that you aborted, and that 2% chance that maybe there wouldn't have been a problem is always going to haunt you. And you're always going to be thinking back to that. That's always going to, it's always going to bother you. As opposed to if we just let it go with nature, and there's a good chance it's going to come out by itself even before the 9th month. As long as it's not dangerous, as long as it doesn't create any infection by the mother or any danger to the mother, so just let it go. And then it's not going to be easy. And we spoke about how it's in the sign and all that. And she was very ruhig from that. She felt good. She thought about it. She felt, you know, It's taka or something. And the Maya said 2-3 weeks later, I think it was on Shavuos, that the pregnancy ended and she had to go in and it was over. But again, there's a certain chachma there which the Rav picked onto that you know, and we put it in the hands of the Torah, and I could go on to other stories also. Plus there are many stories where the doctors were insisting, sometimes 100%. I had one of my children who the doctor insisted that from the sonogram, see that one kidney is going to be smaller than the other one. Don't worry about it. You'll just, every time she gets a cold, you'll have to bring her to the doctor, to the hospital, to take a test. And this Rakshet was born with two healthy kidneys. And Kahana, many stories where sometimes they say they don't see a head. So how's the heart pumping? But and saying Kahana, stories where so you go to the Rav says right away, you know what, let's get a second opinion. Going for a second opinion, sometimes you start hearing something different. Sometimes you hear the same thing. The Rav then works with the person. Should we wait? Could we wait a little? And therefore, sometimes when it's a mistake, waiting sometimes. So many times people called in and said, does the Rav remember, does Rav remember that he told me not to rush into doing the DNC? I should wait. Baruch Hashem was born with a healthy child. So what happens a lot of times is that the doctor puts a tremendous pressure. It's important to know that. In this country especially, where I think it's legal to abort, I've got up to what week, which is further than in other places. In America, certain places, you can't abort as late as you could over here. But the doctors put a tremendous pressure to abort because they're under pressure. I heard this from the doctor himself. Said they're under a lot of pressure from the insurance company because the insurance company is making a cheshbon. Look, if we abort, it's a one-time bill. If this baby's born with issues, then it's a lifetime bill on our cheshbon. So they put a pressure on the doctor to pressure the patient to abort. And if the doctor said that if chas v'shalom the baby's born with a problem, the insurance company interrogates them. How come you didn't push them to abort? You didn't realize the problem. And if you did realize it, why didn't you tell it to them? And then they have to fill out forms to answer it up that we did tell it to the parents, and the parents insisted not to do it because they're from these religious people. V'chulu, v'chulu. So there's a certain pressure over there, being pressured from the doctor, that's very easy for us to go just to go into it. But we need to refer back to our Einei Chachamim. What do they say? Are they suggesting us to wait? And even if chas v'shalom, there is a miscarriage. Let's say there is a miscarriage. So then the question is, so what do I do now? What do I do now? In many places, the doctors are very easy on, okay, DNC, right away, DNC is where they clean out clean out the uterus, and many times they can scrape the uterus, which will prevent, which will make it difficult for pregnancies in the future. So speaking to a Rav, the Rav will give you guidance over here. The doctor wants to get it over as quick as possible or in the easiest way. Now, sometimes the doctor has a good point. Sometimes it could cause infection, which is dangerous. If there's a lot of bleeding, like a period, or if there's pain, etc. But the Rav will be in contact with the doctor. The Rav has the ideas of the doctor because he's spoken to the doctor, and he'll give us guidance of what should we do? Should we wait? Should we go into? Should we take the? There's different options. Taking a pill, which will help the body go into to go into labor and let it out by itself. Or maybe sometimes the suggestion is just let nature play its role. Have it go in its regular way. There's a Murray Dickens story that took to 77. There was a I think it's called a co-joined twins that were born together. They're born together and they shared hearts. They shared a heart. And this heart was too weak. I think it was like a heart and a half or something. It was too weak to sustain them both. And without surgery, they're both going to die. The question was, so what do we do? Do we just leave them to live as long as they'll live? They're not going to be able to, that one heart is not strong enough to give life to both of them, to sustain both of them. Or we do surgery and we have to end the life of one of them. And the question is, which one? Which one are we going to end for the other one? So this is a whole historical shaila, because the doctors didn't know what to do. The doctors were worried that if they're going to kill one of them, they could be locked up for killing. The doctors didn't know what to do. The parents obviously did not know what to do. The parents went to their Rav, who didn't know what to do. The Shaila came to Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe, this is where I heard it over, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he fasted during those days that he had to make, that he was working on this, to make the decision, he fasted. And he said something to the effect that this was the hardest decision he ever had to make. And we from my saga of Rav Moshe and his galus and Torah and everything, to say that this is the hardest decision is something. And there was an article put out at the time. I once saw it, an article from the Philadelphia. That was put out that said that there was a agonizing choice. The parents, the doctors, the rabbis were all in dilemma. What to do? But Moshe went down, spoke to the doctor, and I think he went with Rabbi Tendler. They went down, and they asked the questions that they needed to ask. And they asked it again and again from different angles till he got clear exactly what the Metzius over here is. And then he went and he gave a psak. Gave a psak what to do. Gave a psak what to do. And the doctors would mamish the spoil from his psak. Because he used also give a roidif and the spoil from his psak. And that's where they went further with it. So you see, you have a gadol who took the situation, and a doctor could have said, and their entity was just to leave it alone, don't touch, and let them both die. No, a gadol understood the situation from a whole different angle. He used the Torah, he used the sugya of roidif and which one's. More alive, less alive, who's using the heart more? He used that whole sugya to be able to figure out what is the malach over here. Now, sometimes, going back to aborting, sometimes there may be a time to do it. There may be a time to do it, and sometimes within 40 days, within 40 days, there are many places that are more makel. But again, each shiloh should be asked. Should be asked. If many times women call up or husbands call up that with this assumption that they heard within 40 days, you know, there's a chshidat. It needs to be dealt with. And there are times when the answer is taka that they get. Someone has a history of different genetic problems, there may be an option. But again, if it's done through the Das HaTorah, then it becomes a psak. Then that is the Das HaTorah in this situation. Ultrasounds, there are different tests that are done through pregnancy. There's ultrasounds, there's the regular ultrasounds, there's the detailed ultrasounds. There's genetic testing, there's they take out a fluid to do different testings. So the regular ultrasounds is pretty much muskin by most urbanim. Most urbanim are viewed as just like an x-ray. We do x-rays, so we do that also. Questions if mitzad shtadlis, am I mechuyif to do it or not mechuyif to do it? So again, there are different opinions by different rabbanim. Am I chayif to do mitzad shtadlis? How do we view the detailed ultrasound? So for many, many years, many rabbanim were machmir and held that one should not do the detailed sonogram. For one reason, there's a chshash, if there's a problem, maybe the person will be easy to be mapala to abort it, which is the reason why Arav mentioned to me that he felt that maybe we should be more machmir by certain let's say not from people. Well, you have to know each couple if they're the type of person that would be easy to abort. Maybe by them we have to be more machmir. There's other reasons given that the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us, Ein Avracha Shari Min Asamim Min Ayin. Bracha rests on something which is hidden from the eye. And the Mefarshim explain, once it's open, once you see it, so then to be mispalled that there should be a change, is being mispalled for a nest. Because Baruch Hu set the world up that when you mispalled for a nest, it's much harder to change than when it's not a nest. So, Eidem Baruch Shoyim Samarayim, so therefore Rabbanim was saying, that better let's leave it hidden, and you should just do your part, which is to daven every day, three times a day. That should be a healthy pregnancy, and the baby should be born healthy, and the baby should always be healthy. You do your part, tefillah, and in case Chas Shom there's a problem, Akash Baruch Hu could be misadir very easily, as opposed to if you find out about it. Another issue was that mistakes are being made. It just causes worries, even if you're not going to abort, but it causes a worry to the mother, to the parents, and it causes a worry to the parents, especially if there's nothing. What could be done? There's what could be done? So, and then she doesn't take care of herself, which makes the pregnancy a weaker pregnancy, which can lead to other issues. So therefore, many Rabbanim held for many years that you just go with the Derech HaTeva and leave it the way it is. It's something which is hidden. Leave it hidden. However, it's a sheni. Nowadays, the machinery is much better. A big doctor from New York once called me up, who's a doctor, and he is calling with tinnitus. He said, I hear you tell people not to do the detailed sonograms. He says, I don't believe that it's so. Their machinery is so behind times. Nowadays, it's much more accurate. We could tell. We could zoom into things. And also, you say that there's not that much. That there's nothing really we could do. There's a lot we could do. Certain issues with hearts and lungs and different ones. We could give different. There's even a surgery that there. I heard there are two doctors trained to be able to do it for certain holes in the heart, or other things. They give different medicines through pregnancy, which strengthens the lungs or strengthens the body, or whatever the issue is. Or we could have a team ready at the time of the birth to take care of it right away. So there is what we could do. And therefore, there are Rabbanim that hold that it's allowed. If the parents feel that they want to do it, or if there's a certain lachatz coming to them, many times the parents are willing to go with the first malach, but their parents are pressuring them, or their doctor's pressuring them. Again, the doctor pressures, because he doesn't want to get into that trouble with the insurance company. There's a lot of pressure coming from different things. When you speak it over with the Rav can tell you, your parents are pressuring you from this point. No, so speak to them, tell them like this and this. Sometimes the Rav will pass, because of the pressure, do it. Then there's another nekuda, which it became very common for people to do it, so maybe now it falls into the realm of ishtadlus. But again, this is a sugya. Each person needs to speak to his Rav, and according to the Messiah and according to the sugya, how his Rav understands it, is how he'll pass him. But there's a sugya over here. It's not just the doctor says, you should do it because you have to do it and all that. Another area where the doctor puts a lot of pressure on, sometimes is inducing, where it's inducing is discussed by many, many tshuvas. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about it, a beautiful tshuva, which is Kedai just to see it, where he speaks about that when you go with nature, when you go with the nature, there's haftacha from the Rabbi Shalom that he's gonna take care of you. And them says that when you take a look at Sifrei Kabbalah, it's before like Rav Moshe, even though many Achayim attacked Rav Moshe on it. I meant to bring in copies of different tshuvas to read different Lashonis. Other Achayim with seemingly riyas from Gemara Shabbos, But Lemaisa, when you see later on different Sfarim, I feel Sefer Yetzirah, I think one of the Makaris was the Raivid, Sefer Yetzirah, that that seemed like what Rav Moshe was saying. Rav Moshe was paskening. Over there comes out of Rav Moshe paskening on Pikabala. Not that we they're called, not that we always paskening on Pikabala or Mekubalim, which we'll discuss separately. There are klalim when we go a Pikabala. There are klalim when Mishbura brings down certain klalim in the beginning of Mishbura. There are other paskening. When do we go up here? But over here, Rav Moshe was either mechavin to the Kabbalah or he knew it and he was paskening up here. But Akabanim, Rav Moshe was telling us over here there's a certain haftacha from the Moshe. Now, even according to the paskening that we don't induce, but there may be certain situations where we do induce at certain times. She's already holding at a certain point and she's in a lot of pain and just continuing. So then perhaps we'll allow it. If there's any danger to the mother or to the child, also we'll allow inducing. Again, but speaking to the Rav, the Rav will give you the right guidance rather than taking it in your own hands like doing. One more area that the doctors, certain doctors come very strong across, they come across very strong on this topic, is birth control. They're right away, as soon as like the baby's being born, they're already telling the couple that you know that you have to do birth control for the next at least 2 years. Or they're already, and sometimes the couple hears and he says because your body's shmeted and then this and that and you're mentally not ready for it. For this reason, for that reason, gives them all the reasons in the book. So again, are we going to just follow the doctor's decision for us? Birth control is a big shayla. It's a massive shayla. There's so many different issues that are involved in the sugya of birth control. We have a chance, maybe we could have a share on that separately. But just it's all sugya by itself. And speaking to the Rav, the Rav will give you the Torah's hashkafa behind it. There's a Torah hashkafa to it. We have mitzad echad, mitzvah pruvu, a very important mitzvah. The Olam was created for this mitzvah, to fill the world with children that are going to continue, the next generation of children that are going to be oivdei Hashem, normal people, b'nei Torah, oivdei Hashem. But mitzad sheni, the parents have to be healthy. If they're not healthy, it creates frustration, creates anger. It stares the shalom bias of pregnancy, which is forced onto them. And it's also not a good relationship between them and this child. It's always looked at it, this child was forced onto me. So the Rav has to figure out when is it proper, which type. There's different types, and not every type is good for everyone. For some people, in their situation, they need a more effective one. Some people less effective. Some people, the effective one doesn't work, so we have to come onto certain coolers, which other people take on kipshutai, that they can use these ones which are more halachic questions. And people take it in their own hands, that they go onto birth control until they're ready to continue. There's a process. Working with the Rav will help you get ready. He'll give you the etzes, how to be able to continue and fulfill your responsibility. I've had women say, when this question comes up, the Rav will never understand. The Rav will never understand me. I just need the heter, and you'll never understand what I'm going through and all that. Now, it's important that you have a Rav that understands you. Find the Rav that understands you. Not to go to the Rav that lives a life where you have no shaykhs to that type, that style of life. Go to a Rav that lives similar, I mean, of course, on his madrega, but he understands you. He understands you. A Rav that knows you and your wife, knows your family. Get to know the Rav. You get to know the Rav, and the Rav will get to know you. And then in so many different situations, this is only one of them, it's so much easier for the Rav to be able to give you the right psak. The Rav may hold back a certain heterah from you because he doesn't know who you are. You call it Kav Halacha, I answer Kabbalah. I sometimes wonder why I'm answering. And sometimes the answer is, I can't answer you. I don't know who you are. Come down, and we could talk, and we'll get to know, and I'll be able to answer you. But it's serious. So if it's even a bus of a chol shayla sometimes. Seriously, I don't know what the answer to the person because I don't know who I'm talking to. So there's a certain relationship, and the Rav does understand the people. The Rav himself having children, and the same challenges that you have, he has also, and his wife also has. They're not malachim. Maybe some of them are, but to find the one that's having the challenges like yours, and he's worked through with his Rebbeim, and his Rebbeim worked through with their Rebbeim. All the time my Rebbeim say, oh, I spoke to Shlomo about this, which is Rebbe, I spoke to him, I sat with him, whoever their Rebbeim were. So the importance, that's important. So here we just went through different examples. There's many more examples that come up that also there's when we do it through the Marshall genetic testing, I didn't get to that. That already, there's nothing much one could do about it. So that already, it makes sense not to do those testing, even if you do the detailed sonogram. I don't want to get into different types of birth controls and things like that. Some is the Plan B. I don't know if whoever's familiar with it, that some people take on. Is Pasha that's Mutta? Some people call it like it's Pasha. It's not Mutta. It's a Sugya. I mean, sometimes that maybe that's Eitza. But the bottom line is that we have in front of us a doctor. We have a Rav. The Rav is not a doctor. The doctor is not a Rav. But through the Rav, we could get to, hopefully the Rav is in touch with the doctor, and through that we could get to the right Dvar Hashem in every situation. Our brach is that if we, Kadosh Baruch Hu says if you listen to the Torah, but says Kani Hashem Refecha, what's the basic? Kadosh Baruch Hu says I'll remove from you all the machlis and all the sicknesses. Because the mice at the end, the Raifa is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he'll take good care of us because we must battle to him. And I just wanted to mention, I just meant one more thing, but I'll be in Mayrachanit. The same issues also with therapists in all different areas. Therapists in different areas. Different in different areas more than other areas. They have all different aitzes, which may be halachically questionable, and many times people call up and I'll say to them, okay, so how's it going with the therapist? And they'll say, well, I stopped going to, he was telling me about this thing, that thing, it's not, it doesn't make sense to me, it's meshuggah, it can't be, it doesn't make sense, halachically it doesn't make sense. How do you know? It's a shayla. Sometimes halachically, as strange as it sounds, may make sense, or if the Rav spoke to the therapist, which happened a few times, discussed with therapists, we worked out how it should work halachically. Or sometimes you're right, so we need to work, go to a different therapist. But or the shayla is bichlal to go to a therapist. Sometimes we're running to therapy when there's no reason to. There's the Rav from the Chokhmah Satayra, I'm not trying to pump the Rav, but the Das Satayra, the Torah also has Chokhmah in these areas. And there's a chachma, which a lot of times the that's what I said, when you hang around Tamir Chum, you get to see that there's eitzes and there's yeshuas and there's a lot that they have to give over, especially the older ones. We need to attach ourselves to them, that there's so much chachma that they push and just got from a chachma satira. Maybe we have to imagine more stories of this, but to build our trust and our emuna in the Chachamim. But it's there. And Be'ez Hashem, by doing that, we're working towards Shavuot. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeichem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us, and we should be safe from all these issues. Good night.